Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me, along with Bill the Engineer. What are the odds?
Slim. Yeah. They're somewhere nestled in between slim and none, and here we are at the high end of slim.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was this eclipse thing that they said that people that witnessed the eclipse experienced, you know, magical events in their lives. And here, you know, Bill was here last week, and he's here this week. And then I think the schedule means that we're not going to hear from him for another 6 months. Is that how it is? Or
actually,
the year 2024 when the next eclipse is?
Here's the problem.
What?
And I think I may be confusing the mythology there.
Yeah.
But during the eclipse, I saw my shadow.
Ah.
So that means I won't be back for another 6 weeks.
Is it 6 weeks or 6 months?
I can't remember.
Okay. All right. Well, Rusty is with us as well.
I am. I'm here.
Patrick is not, though. What happened to Patrick?
So this is what happened, and it's weird because he was giving us such crap about it last week.
What about you better get out there and witness the eclipse. This
actually,
is a once in a lifetime event.
What he said was it was not the sort of thing. First of all, it is not a once in a lifetime event.
Well, it hadn't happened in like 99 years.
Where we are,
yeah,
where we are,
right,
happens all the damn time.
So for our lifetime, yeah.
Didn't they say it's going to happen again in like
2045?
No, it's 2024.
There's one in 2024. There's one in 2045.
Yeah,
the one in 2024, doesn't that one like run right over the studio?
I believe
it
does.
The studio right in the set.
Yeah.
So why didn't we just wait? But here's the thing.
Patrick
was drawn to it. He didn't want to. He was outside just working,
butt ass naked.
I don't know that that's true.
No, I think he was.
No. No, because that would have made everyone else go blind.
He felt it was safe because it was going to, you know, it was going to get dark.
True. I don't think that's true.
The eclipse happened, he shed his clothes.
He was at work and he's outside working in the yard at the boat manufacturer where he's employed.
And we told him not to look directly into the sun when this happened, and he never listens to us.
Well, here's the thing. I think he was caught off guard by the attraction. And he just stood there, just staring at it, mouth agape, arms akimbo.
Right.
And I believe he burned his retinas.
Yeah, because I gave him glasses. He thought they were eclipse glasses. They were actually those goofy 3D glasses with the red and blue lens.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So he got to see the eclipse in 3D, but yeah, it burned his
3D,
retinas.
And then nothing else afterwards.
Yeah. So
that's
hopefully
nice.
Next Saturday, Labor Day weekend, he'll be joining us.
We'll see.
With patches over his eyes. Thank
Both
God
eyes.
It's World of Boating Radio.
Right. Nobody will be able to tell.
Yeah. It won't matter. You know.
Truth be told, I actually believe he just is a little under the weather and thought that he wouldn't sound good on the radio, to which my direct response was, and?
Correct.
Perhaps he hasn't heard the show.
Well, he just never went back and listened to this.
Okay. But you know what? That's wise.
Yeah. So anyway, you can take whichever story sounds better to you and mark that one down as mostly true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is absolutely. We are not the fake media, not the fake news. We are 100% completely made up, which is not fake.
True.
It is our.
There's some truthiness to your statement there. Absolutely.
It is the prism through which we see the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
After
stared
into the sun.
What about that? Did you witness the eclipse?
No, because I don't care.
Well, see, I didn't care either until it happened. And then I was drawn outside. It got kind of sunny here at the studio, real bright. And I was like, huh.
Well, it was actually pouring rain until like 45 minutes before.
Exactly.
And then it cleared up.
Yeah, and I went outside and my neighbors were saying, hey, here, Greg, put these on. And I put them on. And I was like, wow, you can see it. How about that?
So well, you could see it without the glasses, but you're not supposed to stare at the sun.
Well, I had
for God's sakes.
I'm not
going to
stare at the sun without the glasses. What do you think I'm stupid? What do you think I'm Captain Patrick?
You make a strong argument.
Yes.
I do think you're stupid, yes.
Okay. No, I said Captain Patrick.
You know what? I weighed the facts that you presented me, and yes,
all right.
That's exactly what I thought happened.
We know where Bill stands on this. What about you, Rusty? Did you go out on your boat and experience the eclipse?
I walked outside, and it was cloudy. I took a picture and posted it of the clouds, because that's all I saw was clouds.
Oh, yeah? You didn't get nothing up there in Jacksonville?
Nothing. No.
You got clouds.
Evidently.
Well, here's the thing, and this really is the thing. If you're interested in what it looks like, there are, and this is conservatively, 12,000 videos you can find online.
Hmm.
And only four of them are going to be of a Mitsubishi.
True.
But there will be four in the top third. On page one, there will be four videos of a Mitsubishi following an accident. Mm-hmm. And they will tell you it is a total eclipse.
Yeah.
Or a totaled eclipse.
A totaled eclipse, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we didn't even get to see, even if we could see here, even what you saw was only a partial eclipse.
It was a partial
eclipse. The sun was still there.
But it was cooler than I thought it would be. I was kind of like you. I was like, I don't really care about this. You know, I don't really get the big deal. But when I actually looked, I'm like, okay, that's kind of neat. And I was here. I'll never forget where I was, which was in my neighbor's driveway.
Yes.
And, you know, amusing myself with watching the
Hold on. Wait
eclipse.
A second. Hold on. What? Is the reason that you're never going to forget where you were because it was immediately followed by an arrest?
No,
because you were standing
no
in your neighbor's driveway amusing
no
yourself during the eclipse?
I was not naked like Captain Patrick. I didn't
you don't
go,
have to be naked to
I didn't
amuse
go
yourself.
Full Monty for the eclipse, like some people evidently did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are reports that people have
Did
you
your
have had,
monkey
like,
heart? Did it
Skip
affect your monkey heart?
Well, you know, they've compared it to like some kind of, you know, ethereal type experience. The people who had the total eclipse experience in totality, you know, where it actually got dark and the stars came out. People are coming back and saying, oh, my gosh, it was like a religious kind of thing. You know, I was changed. I was, you know, the aliens took me up for 2 minutes and
yes, I was,
gonna I was
say,
out of my body and blah, 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 you know.
I believe it's 124 seconds of totality.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right.
It's the greatest thing ever.
But they lived an entire lifetime in that period of time.
Since the beginning of the dawn of dirt.
Yeah. But I would think if you were going to experience the eclipse, being out on a boat would have been the best way to do it. If you could find a place out in the water where you get the total eclipse. I don't know where that would have been offhand.
Well, anywhere.
Well,
I mean, but
you have
but
to be on the path off of Georgia, or you know,
and then it went out near Seattle.
Yeah, right.
So out, you know,
out
Puget
the Pacific,
Sound,
up there,
out the Pacific.
But that would have been, what off the coast of Georgia, or where would it be?
Charleston.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so
I love their shoes
off their boat there. You know, it actually, you know, it was a boon to. For aviation, for general aviation pilots, because people were flying their planes to these places where they could go see the total eclipse, and general aviation took a huge bump in activity and economic impact, you know, as far as people flying their planes and stuff like that. There were a lot of planes in the sky.
A lot of planes in
Monday.
The sky. Now,
now, I don't know if that applied to boating. I haven't heard what the boating
I know this is the world
did.
Of boating, but it's not the only thing that's part of the overboard entertainment megaplex here.
Right.
The studio for Just Plain Radio is down the hall. It's like, what, four
inches
studios
away,
down?
4 inches.
It's like four doors down the hallway there, the studio for Just Plain Radio.
Just turn that little mic flag, and that does it.
There you are.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah,
well, we're there.
One, there it is, right there.
We're there.
Yeah.
But Just Plain Radio, I mean, were people in their planes in the air
some
for
were.
It?
Yeah, some of them
But isn't that going to impact your angle on the sun?
What do you mean, angle of the sun? What are you flying by the sun? Is that what you're doing?
No. I'm just saying that it does seem as though it would be possible, since there was a path, that you could have plotted a path where you could have stayed in the eclipse totality
in the zone
for longer than a minute and 24
seconds. I did see
seconds.
Online there were some people that did some kind of thing like that, but I don't know. I don't think it was that big a deal. I didn't see it take over. It was mostly people just flying from their local area into the the zone of totality and whatever, and they were flying. And just the activity, like saying in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Casper, Wyoming, yes, which was a huge place. They had so much traffic, they told everyone to leave. Like, you want to fly into, forget it. No, turn around, go home, get out of here. We don't want you. No space. So they had
now
too
many
planes.
Sometimes, that happens sometimes with anchorages. Not that this is the sort of thing which does that, but, I mean, certainly there are places where their transient anchorages that are available aren't available.
Well, that's what I was wondering if Rusty up in Jacksonville had.
Well, yeah, because for the rain.
Buy a boat.
In for the rain.
And say, hey, I want to buy a boat or rent a boat for the eclipse, please. That didn't happen to you, Rusty?
No.
None.
Though he would have had to give them all their money back anyway because it was raining.
Well, you know, there's no guarantee.
I am curious about that, though, about boat rentals in the rain. I haven't talked with Rusty in forever.
Well, it's time
about
to catch
Jacksonville
up.
Marine. We're going to do that
What
today.
Else do we do here on the World of Boating?
We sit around without pants on.
Better than being totally naked. More coming up.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
We walk up to this huge yacht. Nick's standing there all sexy.
It is.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. Check this place out.
I've been on a boat bigger than this. We go boating a lot in Florida. I'm a boater. I'm experienced. And I look great on a yacht.
Hey, boy with a boater. Look at what you did. You made my heart go like a motor. And I'd like to take you out. Maybe give me a shout sometime.
That was Corinne from The Bachelorette. Of course, Bill knew that, because he watches it religiously and knows Corinne is going to be on the Bachelor in Paradise tell-all show thing and giving her side of the whole controversy of why the show shut down for a period of time over the summer. So I know you're on the edge of your seat, but she's a boater, so she must be okay, I guess, right?
She's all right.
Yeah.
She's pretty to look at.
Okay, that's all you got?
I can take that.
That's all you got, really?
Well, but here's the thing. I do watch that religiously.
Yeah, of course.
And by that, I mean I watch it just as often as I go to church.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, though? Just before the break, we were talking about, first of all, the pantsless nature of our radio program. Mm. But just before that, I mentioned the fact that I haven't gotten to talk to Rusty in a long time about what's going on at Jacksonville Marine. And I actually have some questions. Now, it's been over a year since I was up there and got to take one of the boats out and got to become a real boater.
The statute of limitations have actually expired, which means you can go back up there and rent one again, right?
So here's the question that I have for Rusty. I would imagine that if I had gone up there on a day where it was going to be rainy all day,
right,
that I wouldn't be happy with that. But
that's true.
But all things considered, a rainy day isn't a bad day for being on a boat.
It's a good day for singing.
That's true. And we do have a policy to address that because it does come up.
Okay, so what's the policy?
Yeah.
Okay, so the policy is, first of all, you can cancel 48 hours in advance, meaning check the weather before you get ready to go.
Okay.
Because, you know, you got 48 hours to make your decision.
Right, and we know how the weathermen always get the weather correctly
exactly.
48 hours in.
If it's just rainy or drizzly, then you're going to go boating. Now, we will let you reschedule. We're just not going to give you a refund.
Credit.
But you can reschedule, if you want to go for another day. If it's lightning or dangerous, then we will actually cancel your reservation for you and give you a full refund.
Mm. All right. So
we're not going to make it dangerous.
So God puts the screws to you is what you're saying.
Yeah,
when
it's lightning, not our fault.
You're out.
Yeah,
you're out. Hmm. The money's just gone.
Yeah, you don't do like renters.
No, if it's lightning, we give you your money. If it's lightning, we give you your money back.
Right.
We cancel. You're good. Right.
No. I'm saying you, Rusty Gardner.
Right.
The man in command at Jacksonville Marine. You have the screws put to you when the weather's bad because not only do you not make money, you're giving back money which you had previously calculated you had made.
Well, have you thought about doing one of those travel insurance things? Like, hey, you might want to buy the travel insurance in case it rains, then you'll get your full money back. And charge them an extra $25 or something?
You probably could because people will do a lot of those things. But no, we haven't done that. The rentals have done extremely well this year. Continually just, to grow. We've really got it down to the process. Our staff's really good. So we've had, knock on wood, very, very few incidents. People have done great all year. The boats have handled great. We've got, we've just bought a couple of new ones. So sold some of the old ones. So the fleet's doing well. And it's been a really good year for the rentals.
Well,
and
Bill,
for Marine, Jacksonville Marine as well.
Well, that's good. But Bill, why are you asking? Are you thinking that you want to do this, but you don't want to commit because you're afraid it's going to rain?
No, that's got nothing to do with it at all.
Okay.
No, my real question is, what's it like when the weather's like iffy? I understand when there's thunder and lightning. Yeah, that's not good. You don't want to be out on a boat for that.
Right.
But when it's just rainy. Some days it's just rainy, and it doesn't seem like that would be a bad day to be on a boat.
It's not a bad day. And they have bimini tops, and it's not as hot. It's not ideal for what a lot of people picture in their head. But it's really sometimes can be a pretty nice day. And in Florida, one of the things that we came up with early on was this weather policy, just because it's going to rain in Florida almost every day during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. And so we just tell people, if something comes up, get out of the weather, get under a bridge, whatever, until it passes, because it does pass. We have very few days that are just washouts all day.
Right.
This doesn't happen very often.
So it just cools things down, like an afternoon
thunder shower. It does, and they'll be fine. And we'll let them reschedule, but most people in their head, just like us, I'm going boating, it's going to be beautiful, there's not going to be any wind, everything's going to be perfect, and it's usually not quite that way.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't been up to Doctor's Lake, right off of the St. John's River to Jacksonville Marine. It is a place where you want to go, and it has a lot of the things which you think about for boating. I mean, it's right on Doctor's Lake, which is just a nice, good-sized lake. And you can do the lake kind of things with the boat right there, right off of the marina.
Okay.
And then, if you go just to the right instead of to the left when you leave the marina, to the left to go out onto Doctor's Lake, if you go to the right, you go and you're out onto the St. John's River, and you can go where you want to go. And when you think of a river, the thing you do not think of is the St. John's River.
Why? Does it look more like a creek?
Oh, no. It looks like a long, wide lake, which may or may not have some current in it. It looks like a lake, and it is a big lake, and it is so wide, for especially the part right there near the marina, that it is, I mean, it's got to be wider than Doctor's Lake is long, right? Am I mistaken on that?
Yeah, no, it's a huge river in several spots. Now, the further south you go, the more narrow it gets all the way down. But
right, and you can stay on it like a river. It's navigable all the way, right? All
right,
the way down to Apopka, for God's sake.
Right, yeah,
but
way
you're
down.
You're probably not supposed to take the boat out all the way to Apopka.
Well, how
right?
would he know?
If you get there and back, if you get there and back in 8 hours, have fun.
That's right. Throttle that puppy up, and you are good to go.
Woo! But that is, well, you know, it's one of my long-standing theories that Rusty should open a satellite operation. He's doing, you know, he's thinking, you know, St. Augustine or something like that. I'm thinking Apopka. I'll run the Apopka operation. We'll just.
That's where you're going with this?
Run them down back and forth. Just
I like that idea.
Yeah, you can camp out one or two nights on the way down.
You know, what can go wrong? Bill has no boating experience.
What can possibly go wrong? What could go wrong? There's like 18 million alligators.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a Apopka. That's an inside joke for our local
friends. There's a solid eight
here.
Slips there on Lake Monroe. Speed gets over 40, there's white caps on Lake Monroe.
What about the gators?
And then there's the gators.
Yeah,
if the gators get up over 40 miles an hour, they're also white caps.
Good
It'd
times.
Be perfect. This, I think, is a solid business model that we should investigate.
It's a win-win. The way I look at it.
We'll start with kayaks.
That'll give us content for the World of Boating for years.
Decades.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Rusty.
Captain
That's
Rusty.
Yeah, there you go.
And Bill the Engineer. Yeah.
Bill the Engineer. Also, Bill the Industry Leader.
The Industry Leader?
I am a mogul. I'm soon to be a business leader related to the boat rental business because I've come up with this fantastic idea that we are going to... It's eventually going to be a string of boat rental facilities along the St. John's River running from Apopka, from downtown Apopka, right by the courthouse, so people can sue us and just, it's like a walk-in.
Right, here, we'll drop you off at the courthouse. Instead of bringing it back to the marina, we're just going to drop you off at the courthouse.
It'll be easy. We'll run a shuttle. And then at the other end, of course, will be Doctor's Lake up there in Jacksonville at Jacksonville Marine. I cannot believe that you're poo-pooing this idea. And I was on board. You were on board until you realized you might have to be on board.
No, until I saw your business plan to hire those Navy captains that were running those ships.
You know what?
Said, hey, they're out of work. I got a job for them.
Many of them were laid off by the Russians. Well, you know what? We do need to talk about that. I know we don't have enough time in this segment, but we are going to talk about this. The fact that it is striking me as very strange that more and more, and of course we are only here when they do happen. We don't hear the thousands of interactions with U.S. naval ships that result in no one getting crashed into.
Right.
But when a military vessel crashes into a civilian boat, whether it's a merchant ship or a fishing boat, I am beyond perplexed. Because I can't imagine that there's any man who's ever been in the Navy, or woman for that matter, who says, yeah, we're probably the only ones around. Do whatever the hell you want!
Where were they? Why aren't they at the bridge watching out for... they're working on the latest review in the Navy.
Ding, ding. Or maybe they're making one of those new videos.
The new videos?
Oh, yeah. You got to check this out. If you get a chance, the grads from Annapolis did a remake of that Bruno Mars song.
Is that one on AGT, on America's Got Talent?
I don't
Oh, wait,
know.
No, those are that's Air Force guys.
No. You got to check it out, though. A remake of Bruno Mars by the U.S. Naval Cadets.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
The ship is sinking, okay? We're going down right now. Just wrap your heads around the reality of that. In 5 minutes, this ship is going to be at the bottom of the lake, and there aren't enough spaces on the lifeboat. Who are we going to save?
Who's going to fix this ship? We got the ship we're in. Who's going to fix this ship? Who's going to fix this ship?
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Rusty, Bill the Engineer, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information. All right, so the big boating news, obviously, you know, we had our second boat in the Navy run into another boat. And they've been having, I don't know, some bad luck in that regard. I don't know what the heck's going on with that, but people are a bit concerned. People are being relieved of duty.
Well, and that's got to happen. Yeah. That has to happen. And I want to make sure that nobody thinks we're making light of this because sailors lost their lives in this.
Yes, of course.
There were 10
and we're
US
fans
sailors.
Of the Navy, too, by the way. I like the song as well, so don't send any hate mail to me. Send it to Bill.
Sailors from Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio are missing. Total of 10 missing altogether. After a collision. But here's a question that I have, and that really, of course, it was on the USS John McCain, not named for the U.S. Senator, but named for the U.S. Senator's father and grandfather.
Right.
Both of whom were admirals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
what is your concern?
Well, so it actually collided with an oil tanker off of Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking is there's no way that that couldn't have been avoided. Now, I do understand that there are times when there are vessels that are purposefully not yielding to other vessels. And they're essentially saying, well, I'm just going to get my way. I'm going to go where I want to go. I don't need to do what you're telling me to do. And I'm going to go here. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not the right thing, you're not going to hit me. But I don't understand how anyone who's in command, and there's always somebody in command on the bridge of a naval vessel. It's not like you and me and Rusty are taking a boat out onto the ocean and we all just decide to take a nap.
Which could happen.
Yeah, I mean, that is not
unreasonable. Would make a lot more sense.
But if we are the USS John McCain, I know that doesn't happen. There's always a command officer
on
the bridge.
Well, there's redundant systems. There should be electronic systems, radar. There should be bells going off. And, of course, there should be people using their eyes. You know, as well.
Well, and it seems to me that an oil tanker is not something which should be difficult to see.
Yeah, I don't know. It was this day or night. I don't know.
I don't actually have a lot of details about the actual crash because it's being investigated.
Right.
So a lot of the details haven't been released.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we don't know. But they did collide off the coast of Singapore.
I would think
Singapore, Malaysian Navy ships and helicopters joined American aircraft searching for sailors.
Wouldn't
at
any
sea.
Basic radar, Rusty, alert a captain to a nearby vessel like that?
And I think that's always been my question. Now, I did see a picture of the port where these boats coming in and out, and it is extremely dangerous. And there's looked like literally hundreds of boats all in this little area going in and out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see where that would be difficult. The one before this one that happened at night, and there's nobody out there but two boats, that one was the one that really perplexed me even more because, I mean, even my boat, my little boats, will have an AIS system which shows me where all the boats are.
Right.
They have radar, they have alerts, and I would guess, I wasn't in the Navy, so, you know, if I say something wrong, I apologize, I don't know. But I would think that these ships were made not to be hit. That's kind of the goal, right?
I think that could be applied to pretty much every boat on the water.
Sure. And these are military boats.
And many
boats,
bridges. Bridges. Tell your friend, Rusty.
Yeah, exactly.
I will. and they have these very, I would think, sophisticated systems. They would have people that are watching the radars, that are monitoring. They're supposed to have a lookout, I know, up on the bridge watching for all these things. So something is, you know, the first one you think, well, that's weird. And I never heard a report of really what happened. I know that the officer in charge was let go, but, you know.
Yeah, 2 months ago, out of the same port, the USS Fitzgerald was involved in a very similar collision, which resulted in 7 sailors being killed. The Fitzgerald had collided with a container ship south of Japan, leading to significant damage to its hull. So they're from the same port, but their accidents weren't in the same places.
Right.
And here's something which actually probably make John Morgan proud. They are not called accidents. It's a crash.
Incidents?
It's a boat crash.
A boat crash.
Because the decision by the Navy, which I think is fair, is that it should have been avoided.
Well, yeah.
It should have been avoided, and that's why people lose commands over this. If your naval vessel is involved in a collision, you are going to lose command of this vessel. All right, there are not two ways about that. And your career with the Navy is going to take a dramatic change of direction.
Yeah, but is it, you know, you mentioned, I don't know what the official title of it on radar, but what is that when you set up, you know, a boundary around your boat on your radar? Because we do this when we're diving at night on some of the dive boats. If they're doing a crossing on a live aboard, they'll go in the middle of the night, but they'll set up a range around the boat. What is that called, Russie?
I don't
know. Perimeter?
Well, you can adjust the radar size and say, okay, if any other vessel comes within this bubble.
Half mile, mile, yeah, yeah. 2 miles.
An alert is going to go off or an alarm is going to go off.
I would think that on a vessel as sophisticated as the John McCain or the Fitzgerald, that there are collision warnings as well.
Well, collision or pirates. Hello. I mean, because it's the same kind of thing.
Well, because they could come on a much smaller boat,
right,
which would be harder to detect. So there has to be a way to detect those boats. But those things should in no way allow you to miss a container ship or an oil tanker. In no way could you get confused as to the trajectory. I mean, and an oil tanker and a container ship are not changing directions. They are moving straight at a relatively constant speed. The only thing they might do is slow down. Other than that, they're going to go relatively straight for long distances of time. Yeah. I'm wrong? I'm right?
I mean, that's pretty basic technology, right, Rusty?
Sure. It is.
I mean, any center console boat that you sell at Jacksonville Marine would have that kind of radar available to it, wouldn't it?
They would. I mean, this is... All fishing boats, well, not all, most fishing boats have it. And even if it doesn't have the radar, the AIS system.
Well, that's what I meant. Which means what? What is AIS?
AIS is automatic identification system that boats will have installed in like the GPS system of their boat. And so it'll actually show up and alert you on, and it doesn't even have to have a big screen radar. It'll even show up on a lot of VHF radios.
All right, I have bad news, Rusty.
What?
And I hate to even say this to you.
It's the wrong acronym?
No. No. I hate to say this to you because I rented a boat from you. If something started beeping on my boat to warn me that I was about to crash into something, I had no idea where it was. I would have no idea. I would have had absolutely no idea what it was doing. I would have assumed we were low on oil.
Sure. That's the other option. It could be. You know, well, it could be running hot. But.
And Bill's AIS call sign was ASS. I don't think that was a coincidence.
Hey, these things happen. But I do not want to make it seem as though we're making light of this, but I'm curious about this. I'm curious as to what it is, what type of breakdowns could have led to a scenario where not one, but two ships from the same port. So it's not like these people aren't familiar with the other people that were involved in this collision, and they couldn't have, you know, just been having a few beers on a Saturday night sitting around the officers' club and say, oh, geez, Lou, I can't believe what happened. Let me tell you about it. And somebody else could have had a conversation.
So that well, at least, yeah, glad at least I'm not
have,
you.
At least they have deja vu when it does happen. I mean, I just cannot believe that that sort of thing is something which can happen. This is something I can't believe that something like that could happen. That there's a scenario where accidentally not one but two Navy ships centered at the same port could accidentally collide with two commercial vessels.
Well, I can, because it did. So, I mean, you know, maybe we'll find out in the future there was some other circumstances we're not aware of. Because it does seem pretty insane that that could happen this quick together. It's like lightning strike, almost, you would think.
I would think that it would be about as frequent as a lightning strike. Yeah. That it would be like that. It would be the sort of thing which simply never happens. And I don't know if that's... if that is the sort of mentality which came in, oh, this happened once with the Fitzgerald, it never happens, so we don't need to be more vigilant because now it is even less likely to happen because it never happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, time will tell, I guess. We'll have to wait and see what the facts...
There's a certain bridge in Jacksonville which is thinking the exact same thing.
I know, right?
Rusty's friends go under this bridge all the time, and nobody ever crashes into me. This guy probably isn't going to.
What are the chances of a bridge crashing into you? Zero. See?
Then there's
and
that.
Twice. Then there's twice. You know that.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department, led by his ex-girlfriend, and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Batten down the hatches.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mend the bowsprit. Stow the mizzen mast. Jibe the jib boom. Hoist the mainsail and lower the tattersail. Look sharp, man. Pipe the starboard, hatch the leeward. Thwarts and trim the scuppers of the port poop deck.
I'm sitting on a boat dock, paying on my condo, waiting for you to come home. I'm sitting on a boat dock, paying on my condo, waiting for you to come home.
This is the World of Boating.
Woo!
Greg, your first mate. Captain Rusty. Bill, the engineer. Banging on the Congos, waiting for you to go home. Or wait a minute. No, we don't want you to go home first. We got to take you there on our boat.
All right, all right, all right.
Put your clothes back on.
You know how I like to bang on them conga drums.
All right, so
all right,
we're almost back to the dock, but we got time for another little nugget to share with our passengers, don't we?
I'm assuming that folks that listen to the show also follow World of Boating on Facebook. They go to the worldofboating.com website. If you follow us on Facebook, you've already seen this story. If you haven't, you need to go and check it out right now, because this actually is huge news. Paul Allen, a billionaire.
The Oracle guy.
No. Didn't he? No, Paul Allen is the...
Which one is he?
Larry Ellison is the Oracle guy. Paul Allen is one of the Microsoft guys.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Paul Allen spent a lot of money, and he ended up finding a ship which is one of the great tragedies of the Second World War.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The USS Indianapolis.
Right.
It is the next to last U.S. warship, the penultimate warship sunk during World War II. And the sailors, the ship sank fast. It sank within 12 minutes. And it was hit by torpedoes by a Japanese submarine. And many of the sailors perished at sea because no one started a rescue operation to find them, because they didn't realize that they were overdue because they were on a secret mission.
And the sharks got them.
Well, on Shark Week, they say it's a shark thing.
No, on Jaws, the movie.
Okay.
Captain Quinn.
Yes.
Yeah.
But on Shark Week, they also say... But there's a lot of speculation that dehydration and exposure caused them to die, and then the sharks got them. That the sharks didn't get them until they were already dead. But
probably
they lost.
True.
They lost. The vast majority of the crew died in the water because nobody came looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And days and days and days and days go by, and by this point in time, by August of 1945, we'd gotten pretty darn good at finding sailors at sea. We'd gotten good at finding pilots at sea. We'd gotten good at finding sailors from ships that had been damaged at sea or sunk. And this is a case where the ship was sunk at sea, and it sank fast, and he found the USS Indianapolis. Now, the Indianapolis was on a secret mission delivering the supplies for Fat Boy, one of the two atomic bombs that were dropped on Japan. And so as a result, because they had the supplies on the boat, nobody talked about it.
Right.
And as a result, this is really one of the great tragedies of the Second World War, because these are people that were just doing their job, and days later, the Japanese Empire surrendered. So if they hadn't gotten sunk then, they probably would have made it home.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, If this sub doesn't find them in the water, if this sub isn't as successful with their torpedoes, they probably all make it home.
Yeah.
But they don't. And they don't find out for a long time where they are, and
a lot
of sailors lost their lives in the ocean.
How did Paul Allen and his crew find the Indianapolis? Well,
because they had some old information. Now, they just didn't go searching for it. I mean, since 1945, there's been other priorities other than finding a ship which is sunk.
Right.
So, but they did find some pretty good intelligence from somebody who had seen it just hours before it was sunk. So they knew what part of the ocean to look in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had managed to narrow it down to a relatively small area, a 600 square mile search area. And that happened relatively recently. And Paul Allen outfitted a salvage team with radar and sonar, and they found it on the bottom of the ocean. They sent down an ROV,
yep.
And they saw the identifying marks on the hull still underwater, and they were able to identify it before they even got all the way to it. They were pretty confident that they had found it, and then they were able to retrieve some things with the ROV, which confirmed their suspicion that it was, in fact, the USS Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. All of the story is interesting, and the end of it and the discovery of it is almost as interesting as the story which got it sunk in the first place. Much like finding the Titanic.
True.
I mean, the story of finding the Titanic is very nearly as interesting as the story of the Titanic.
Well, this Indianapolis discovery will probably show up on Shark Week next year as a special.
Oh, probably.
Documentary.
Probably, and then they'll go with more of this garbage about sharks having eaten people.
Exactly.
Because the fact of the matter is, where it was in the ocean, there weren't going to be a lot of sharks no matter what. There would have to be pelagics, mm-hmm. and there would have to have been, you know, some around, but not enough to slaughter hundreds of sailors. That's just
probably not.
I mean, it's in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, but it would have been Megalodon if you go back to the whole Shark Week thing.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for bringing that back.
Yeah, well, it's either that or Michael Phelps is going to race one. So take your pick.
Yeah, you do what you got to do.
Yes.
Rusty, I'm glad you and I had this time together today.
Good times, man.
You know, we are going to be back next week with more of the World of Boating. Make sure you check out all the shows of Overboard Entertainment. I am Bill the Engineer. He is Greg the First Mate.
Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.